I'd like to go back to Psalm 34 and read to you a few of those verses. This is free information. It will not be on the test, but Psalm 34 is an acrostic. What that means is it's written in poetic form in the first line of each word. Each sentence forms a word when you go down. Now, if you want to fact check that, you can, but you'll have to do it in Hebrew because it doesn't work in English. So let us hear these verses from Psalm 34. Beginning with 14, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. And then 17, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. And now would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our Redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Now today is the second in a series of sermons on Wesley's three simple rules. Those rules were written by Wesley when some folks came to him. They were in his classes and societies. He was a great organizer and put people in all these different ways to connect and to learn and to share their faith together. And so these people came to him and they said, help us do better at walking our Christian walk. Well, Wesley knew that most of the folks that were the early people called Methodists were not what you'd call the high educated folks. And so he made three simple rules, these three general rules for all of the societies. They were do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And so he put those together, but after each rule, for example, do no harm has about 10 other things underneath it. And do good has about 5 things, and we'll hear about those in a minute. But these took place. He wrote these rules in the mid-1700s, and they are still helpful to us today. If you want to read them in Wesley's own words, they are in paragraph 104 of your United Methodist discipline. Now, when we say do good, it's a temptation to think, oh, I got this one. It's easy. Just be nice to everyone. Lend a helping hand when the need arises, and I will have met this rule. But you all know that things can look really easy sometimes when they appear to be simple, but when we get right down to it, they might be more than we saw. When I was a little girl, my mom was one of the few moms in our neighborhood who worked. Most of my friends' moms stayed home during the day. Well, my mother hired a woman to come to our house and to clean and to be there for the kids and to take care of washing dishes and washing clothes and ironing. If you're too young to remember ironing and how much trouble and time and hard work that took, you are blessed. But the fact is, ironing took a lot of time in a household that had 4 active children. And so the woman that worked for us was named Pauline, and she was almost like another member of the family. She worked from about 9 to 4 on Monday through Friday. My mom went to work about 10, got home about 3:30, so there was never really a time when we kids were without some adult supervision. Well, one particular time, Pauline spent the night with us on a Friday night. That didn't usually happen. I don't know why it happened this time, but it did. So on Saturday morning, we all woke up, and my mom said, well, Pauline, get in the car, and I'll take you home. Well, I was so excited because I got to go. And so we got in the car, and Mother and Pauline were in the front seat, and I was sitting in the back seat, and we took off, and we left my little cloistered life in West University Place and went to a place in Houston that I had never seen. That neighborhood was not anything like my neighborhood. It was a little dingier. There were businesses all up and down the street. I didn't really even see any houses at first. The name of the street that we were driving on was Dowling Street. If you know anything about Houston, you might know where Dowling Street is. And so as we drove along that day, I looked out the window up ahead a little bit. I saw a man walking down the sidewalk, just stumbling along. And I said, "Mother, stop the car. That man is sick. He needs help. We have to help him." Now, she and Pauline just exchanged a look, and they kept on driving. And I guess I thought they hadn't heard me, because I said, as we drove by him, "Mother, look at that man. He's sick. We need to stop and help him." And finally, Pauline turned around as we continued down the street, and she looked in the back seat at me, and she said, "Honey, he's not sick. He's just drunk." Now, I didn't really know what drunk meant. I didn't know that word. But I did know that my mother did not think she needed to go back. And so I decided to just probably stay quiet. But it occurred to me sitting in that back seat that morning that when you're sick, you can get help. But when you're drunk, no one is supposed to stop the car and help you walk better. We continued on. You see, I wanted to do good, but the grown-ups apparently knew something I didn't know. Now, those of us who grow up in Christian households are taught to do good from very, very early on. We learn how to share our toys almost before we can talk. That value of doing good has found its way into the fabric of the United States culture. Do good, help others, share with others, treat others as you would want to be treated. Well, Wesley's emphasis on doing good had five components. Here they are. This is the first one. Giving food to the hungry, clothing the naked, and visiting those in prison. That's the first one. The second one, trampling out the idea that doing good is only necessary if we feel like doing good. He said it a lot better. The third one, you're going to love this one, employing and doing business with other Christians. The fourth one is being frugal and diligent. And the fifth one, I had to use some of his words for this one, running the race with patience, submitting to bear the reproach of Christ, to be as filth and off-scouring of the world, accepting the fact that people will say all manner of evil about us for the Lord's sake. Those are the five. Oh, who knew that's what it means to do good in the Wesleyan context? You see, it is more than being nice, and it's more than feeling good about yourself. In fact, feelings have nothing at all to do with doing good. Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 27 and 28 say, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." To do good is a serious challenge from Wesley and a direct command from Jesus. Doing good does not come with a caveat to help others when we think they deserve it. It doesn't come with a guarantee that the people we help will ever even be grateful. Doing good might actually cause us to help someone who repels us. Bishop Will Willimon tells a story of a time when he was a mere pastor. And you may have heard this story, but it bears repeating. He was coming out of the church building at the end of a very long day, and he was walking across the parking lot to get into his car. He was tired, and he wanted to go home. But as he was walking across the parking lot, a man came from the other direction and met him almost when he got to his car. And the man did not smell good. He was very dirty. And he walked right up to Will Willimon and he said, "Could you give me some money?" Now, Will Willimon is an upright Methodist pastor. And so he said this, Can you come back tomorrow? The person who handles that has already gone home for the day. There'll be someone here who can help you in the morning. Well, the man just looked at Willimon, and then he said, well, I need money right now. I haven't eaten in 2 days. Now, Willimon was pretty sure he was being scammed. He wanted to get home, and truthfully, he wanted to get rid of the guy. So he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $20 bill and he handed it to the guy, who took it and turned to walk away. And Pastor Will Willimon said, aren't you even going to say thank you? And the man turned around and he looked at him and he said, no. And Willimon said, the least you can do is say thank you. And the man said, I don't have to, because he said you're supposed to help people like me. And he walked away. Willimon got into his car that night with a pretty bad taste in his mouth, but he also knew the man was right. Wesley's general rules are about living in Christian community. They are not written so that we in the Christian community can feel good about ourselves and our efforts. They are written to help us respond to radical need in a radically broken world. And the fact is, at least to me, the world seems more broken today than it ever has. And I have to confess to all of you sitting here today, one of the reasons I decided to preach on these three simple rules is that I struggle with them myself. I have questions about where are the boundaries? I have questions about when is enough enough? When is too much too much? I have questions about how much good I do, and how sometimes I might even unwittingly be helping someone whose goal it is to take advantage of others or even to do harm to someone else. I also struggle with that thin line between helping and enabling. There is a difference. But I also have to remind myself that Jesus helped a lot of people who didn't deserve it. He helped a lot of people who were ungrateful and whose main goal was to avoid personal responsibility. Doing good is really hard because we tend to judge whether or not we should or could help one person or another. And not unimportantly, there is the fact of our own families. How much do we provide to others and turn our backs on our own families because we're so busy doing good over here for someone else? And how much do we ignore our own self-care when we stop doing good and practice Sabbath rest? It can only help us. I've said before that some of the best theology we learn on an airplane. At the beginning, right as you're getting going, there's a little person up there in the front who says, if the cabin begins to lose pressure, a mask will fall out of the ceiling and down in front of you. If you're traveling with someone who is dependent on you, put your own mask on first. Then put their mask on. You see, we need to be thinking clearly when we're helping someone else, and if we're not taking care of ourselves in the process, we're not going to be much good to another person. If I could answer all these questions, this would be a very different sermon today. But you see, Jesus didn't come to give us all of the answers. He came, at least in part, to give us some questions about what it means to live as the people of God. Now, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Our help is for the brokenhearted. Our help is for those whose spirits have been crushed. And if God is close to the brokenhearted and close to those whose spirits have been crushed, doesn't it make sense that when we get close to them, we're getting closer to God? Romans 13, verse 8 says this, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligations to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." It's a command. Love God. Love your neighbor. Now, if we remember that these rules were written for those who live in Christian community, we have to know at least a bit of what it means to live in Christian community. So often when we do good, it has the effect of making us feel good. In his book, Life Together, written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a really great, wonderful book of what it means to live in Christian community, Bonhoeffer says this, "Christian community means community through and in Jesus Christ. The community of the Spirit is the fellowship of all those who are called by Christ. In the community of the Spirit, the Word of God alone rules." Bonhoeffer also said this, "God is not a God of the emotions, but the God of truth. Human love is directed to the other person for his own sake. Spiritual love loves the other person for Christ's sake. Doing good goes much further than performing acts of mercy. It is much deeper. It goes to our very core, the place where God resides within us. Doing good challenges us to struggle with our own questions in the midst of helping those who may or may not deserve our help. It's about giving way to the will of God and putting our own will aside, at least long enough to extend a hand of love and grace to someone else, maybe to an enemy, maybe to someone who has persecuted us because we're Christians, maybe someone who has abused us, maybe to someone who really ought to be able to take care of his own self. When we bring our emotions into the mix, it can produce undesired results. On the one hand, we can have emotions of resentment and bitterness, thinking that the person we're helping doesn't deserve it and begrudge them the very help that we offer, thus giving them the idea that Christians really are just a bunch of hypocrites. On the other hand, we can feel sorry for them, thus putting ourselves in a position of power over them. You see, if I feel sorry for you, I might be tempted to take control of your life and teach you the best way to live. Doing good is about our response to Christ. It's not really about responding to the other person's needs at all. And it's certainly not a response to our own feelings, whatever they might be. Doing good, you can write this down, is a matter of will and determination. Now, I said last week that these three simple rules are simple, but they're not easy. And Wesley, in his wisdom, gave us some words so that we could remember them. And I'm standing here remembering now that I forgot to ask the ushers to pass out those tiny pink cards that are in a basket on the back. So I'm going to read you what's on the card, and then I hope that you'll pick one up as you leave today. It's hot pink. It's small. It'll fit in your wallet, and there's not too many other things in your wallet that are hot pink, I'm thinking. So it ought to stand out every day as a reminder of who we are and what doing good is all about. Listen to what Wesley said. You've heard this, I'm sure. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Go and do good in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.